Lecture topic, the season for resolutions.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator, nourisher, cherisher, sustainer, protector of one and all. Wa usalli wa usallim ala khatam al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Complete blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all his companions and upon all his followers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from amongst his followers, and may Allah make our offspring as well from amongst them. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest friends who are gathered today in this beautiful venue in the month of Ramadan, I have chosen today to say a few words regarding the occasion. We all know that in the Islamic calendar, there are two seasons which are the most powerful, spiritually uplifting seasons. The two major seasons are, firstly, the season of Hajj, whereby the spirituality is so powerful and so great that a person feels the transformation on condition that he or she is sincere. When a person goes for Hajj, the power of the days of Hajj and the power of the place where the Hajj takes place is felt within the heart on condition that the intention is correct. For this reason, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رَجَعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. Such a person comes back from Hajj as pure and as clean as the day that person was born. Subhanallah. Which means rejuvenated, given a new chance. If it was a motor vehicle and we found the battery to be totally flat, it is as though a brand new battery has been put in place. And I'm sure those who've experienced the problem of flat batteries, I'm quite experienced because we come from Zimbabwe. You would know how it feels after having solved the problem. And for that matter, any worldly example we can use today, that of a puncture, a tire, after you've repaired it, you know how different the car feels. That of an unresolved family issue, the day it is resolved sincerely, you know the feeling is brand new. It is different if there is sincerity. So, on a much higher level, the example of Hajj, where a person returns with a brand new book, deleted everything, having deleted absolutely anything and everything that particular person may have committed in the past. And this season recurs every single year. We all know that. But we are in the midst of the next most powerful season, in fact, the longest season that is granted to us in this Islamic calendar. That is the season of Ramadan. In it, there is a night which we are all aware of, known as Laylatul Qadr, the most powerful night in terms of spirituality. The most powerful night created by the Creator of day and night. In that night, every single one is called upon by his or her own Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is it that is going to turn to me that I can accept the turning? Who is it that is seeking forgiveness that I can accept that forgiveness? Who is it that is asking anything that I can grant them? Remember to make a dua. And this month, this season is also a season of dua. We make duas outside the month of Ramadan. But believe me, the blessedness of the dua in Ramadan is far greater. The spirituality is far deeper. And for that reason, we know that a person whom just before they put into their mouth either the piece of date or whatever they are going to put into in order to break the fast at the end of the day, Just prior to that moment, one of the most blessed moments of dua, after having engaged in such a powerful act of worship known as abstention for the sake of Allah. That is what fasting is all about. Abstention for the sake of Allah. Practicing control for the sake of Allah. Self-restraint for the sake of Allah. Purifying one's person by being hard on oneself for the sake of Allah. Then towards the end of the day, you say, Ya Allah, give me happiness. Do you think Allah is going to say, no, I don't want? Subhanallah. He is going to say, my worshipper, I have granted you happiness. It is granted. So, the most powerful du'as are made in the month of Ramadan. And within the month of Ramadan, there are different times which are more spiritually deep than other times, or spiritually much higher than other times. For example, the time of suhoor. Many of us get up in order to eat. Yes, it is the sunnah. The hadith says, "Tasahharu fa inna fi sahuri barakah." You should and you must eat something for suhoor because there is barakah, even if it means a very little amount of food or drink. There is barakah. Not only in the food, but there is barakah in that time, because have we realized that that is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down every single evening or every night? When a third of the night is remaining, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to all His worshippers. هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ فَأَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِ هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ سُؤْلَهُ. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive them? What are we doing? We're busy having our cereal. And we're busy eating and drinking, forgetting that there is a call being made. And for that reason, I'd like to draw my attention and yours to the fact that when we are up for suhoor, that is the most blessed time during the 24-hour day within the month of Ramadan, is the time of suhoor. Because it has blessedness upon blessedness upon blessedness. The first blessedness is the fact that every single day at that time, the time of tahajjud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out. When would Creator call out to created? Creator does not need the created. But the created, us creatures, we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the ones who go through problems, we go through difficulties, we go through turmoil, we go through turbulence, we go through uncertainty, we go through various other calamities in our lives. We need to raise our hands and call out. Allah has kept a season on a daily basis for calling out. Those who can engage in tahajjud, alhamdulillah, that is a prayer and a salah at that particular hour, which is very blessed. But it is not a condition that you must read tahajjud in order to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a condition. Sometimes shaitan makes us have the misunderstanding that if I have not read tahajjud, then why I can't make dua at this hour. No. That is the hour. Allah did not say you need to make and you have to make tahajjud if you want to make dua to me during that hour. Even if you set your clock at that hour, whether it's within or outside Ramadan, and your eye opens at that particular hour, and from your bed you raise your hands and you make a dua, you have still achieved the call in the blessed hour, because it is the hour that is blessed. So let us become conscious of the time of suhoor when we get up. Let us become conscious of the fact that it is a very blessed hour. And before I move further, remember, when we make a dua, it is Allah's mercy that responds. And He says it very clearly in the Quran. And I'm sure we've heard the verse so many times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَان. I answer the call of the caller positively whenever he calls out to me. That means if I am asking for something, If I do not get precisely what I asked for, I must have full iman and belief and yaqeen that that was not good for me. That's it. So people ask for contentment. Allah has given them contentment, but the weakness of their iman cannot see that contentment. When you say, "Ya Allah, I'd like the best of health, and now we are suffering a problem within our stomachs or within our system," we should realize that that is the best for us. And we must be convinced that that is the best. We will only understand in the future. Say a man has suffered, or a woman, in a car accident. And I'd explained this a few nights back. The amputation of a limb. We all need to understand that that is the best thing that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have dictated. Even if it means death overtaking someone. It is the best thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have dictated. Allah never issues decrees against the Muslimin. Never. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only decrees that which is merciful. We get this from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he explained to his companions that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far greater than the mercy of a mother upon her own suckling baby. We know that a mother who has a baby who is suckling will never want even a drop of harm. What did Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother do to her? To him. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother was forced to put him into a basket-like item in order to save him, and placed him into the water of the Nile. Which mother would do that? Today, if any mother had to place their child into a basket and put them on the shores of Durban, what would happen? People would say, "This lady needs assistance. She is dumping the baby," and so on. But that was the mercy of Allah, dictated that that was the only way out for this particular child. So the child was put into a basket and placed in the water. Tawakkalna ala Allah. Everything was left in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knew that that is the best for this child, knew that the mother was crying, and knew that he had a plan. And that plan was, at some point, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was to return to the same mother. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. Allah says, we returned him to his mother for her eyes to be cooled once again. But who would understand that that was the best thing? She made lots of dua, "Ya Allah, protect my child. Ya Allah, protect this baby of mine." She did not feel let down when she was instructed to leave the baby. She didn't, because she knew that's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same applies when it comes to the amputation of a limb for medical reasons. And at times, possibly in a car accident, there is a chance that there might have been a cancerous element within that particular limb without you or me having known. And after it was removed, only Allah knows that it was amputated for that, not to get to the rest of the body. There is a chance. But when will we find this out? Sometimes possibly only on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah says, "That was my mercy." Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts something upon us for us to raise our hands. We've never raised our hands sometimes for a long, long time. And He wants us to say, "Ya Allah, give me." The minute we make a dua, we are already acknowledging the greatness of Allah. It is an increase in iman just by acknowledging that He is the one who can give you. Would you ever ask someone who doesn't have something to give you that which they do not have? No, because you know that I'm being foolish. But the minute you ask someone for something, and even if they do not have it, and they respond to you saying, you know what, I don't really have this. And you say, but I thought you did. Sometimes they might feel happy and proud of the fact that you thought so highly of them. This is man. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can never ever let us down, because He owns absolutely everything. So we need to increase our dua in the month of Ramadan. We need to increase our dua in the blessed times during the month of Ramadan. And let's not just wait for the last 10 nights of this month of Ramadan. So this blessed spiritual season that we are in right now, every single one of us needs to ask himself or herself a few questions. Let me ask those questions to myself right now, with the idea that the benefit inshallah will be for myself and for everyone who is listening. How many Ramadans have gone past in my life? How many seasons has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given me? Some Ramadans I have tasted spirituality of a different level, because possibly I was in Makkah, or possibly I was in a gathering very large, or possibly for other reasons that Allah knows best. How many of these Ramadans that I have passed during my life have I really benefited from? The kuffar make resolutions at the end of the Islamic year. Almost every year they have New Year resolutions, because the year flips and turns. And a lot of them are very serious about these resolutions. And I have spoken to a lot, and I found many saying, yes, I achieved last year's, now this year I'm going to achieve something else. As Muslimin, or myself as a Muslim, how many resolutions have I made in a season whose spirituality I've actually felt, and I can feel, and I always feel whenever it comes and passes? How many resolutions have I made in this season that has passed every single year of my life? And if I have, how many have I followed through? And how many can I proudly today stand up and say, yes, alhamdulillah, I've achieved this. I've managed to quit that bad habit I've had. I've managed to give up this. I've managed to fulfill my 5 salah. And more importantly, I've managed to cleanse my heart. Why do we say, more importantly, I've managed to cleanse my heart? We say it because the weakness we have as insan today is that we are interested more in the outward appearance rather than the development of the inside. And that at times can be very hypocritical. I am not saying it is incorrect to develop the outward appearance. No. But when one develops the inside and clarifies and cleanses or clears up all the filth within one's heart and mind, that person becomes much more solid on the straight path than a person whose heart needs a lot of attention. It is like a radiator of a vehicle. No matter how beautiful the vehicle is, if there is something wrong and the radiator is bubbling, the car will stop. And we will have to flush it out, send it to the specialists, and ensure that the inside and the engine of this particular vehicle is grand and powerful. What is the point of having a huge Mercedes Benz, and inside you've got an engine of a 1960, what they used to call Datsun 120Y? There's no point. I've seen everyone smiling. You know what I'm speaking about. So that is what's happening to us. Outwardly, we look like Islamic Mercedes. I hope you understand what I mean. Huge buzrugs. People who are so pious and holy. And our own wives are complaining about us to others. What an insult. When I say to others, I mean to the ulama. I know of cases that have come to myself where I cannot believe what is being said because I know the person involved. What a big beard. What a huge turban, for example. How much time have they not spent in the masjid? So, the reason I am raising this is for us today and in this season to work on both the internal and the external with the idea of removing all hypocrisy from ourselves and our lives. Let's not lead a double life. Let's not lead a fake life. These are the resolutions I need to make myself, firstly. This is the season. I may never see the end of this month. And the same applies to everyone here. I had an SMS this morning from Zimbabwe saying that one of my friends was taken to hospital. It may just have been an attack. Every year, we hear during the month of Ramadan, every single one of us, I'm quite sure, we hear of people having died, people having suffered heart attacks, people having been robbed. Remember, the reward of sabr, of an armed robbery during the month of Ramadan is far greater than outside that month. So it's a blessing. It's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that decides to choose for that armed robbery to happen during the month of Ramadan and not outside it. Because any act of worship in the month of Ramadan is multiplied. We all know that. And I suppose it's the first time, or possibly one of the first times, that we are hearing it from this angle. Some might think I'm foolish to say it's a blessing. It is a blessing. Everything that happens to us is a blessing if we want to look at it as a blessing. Even those who are going through turbulence in their own marriages. At times it is a blessing, because if we know that engaging in a great act of worship known as solving problems is very rewarding, we would have never been allowed to have engaged in that ibadah or act of worship had it not been for the problem we are in. Amazing. But then we look at it and roll up our sleeves, and we want to beat each other up in the house. That is un-Islamic. That then becomes a punishment. So the perception of absolutely everything depends on our iman, our yaqeen, how much we trust Allah. Do we not trust that He is the best? Nobody can be better than Him. Do we not trust that He is totally in charge, and everything that happens to us is through His mercy? Or if we would like to look at it as punishment, it is for us a punishment because of our perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have made mention, and even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention, that a person who is in punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is he or she who is constantly complaining of absolutely everything Allah has done. There are people who might have suffered in a huge way materially, but they are not complaining. They are happy. They stand up and continue. Even if they were bankrupt as a result of the robbery, for example, they get up, they don't complain, and they continue. That was not a punishment for them. But a person who has a pimple on his face or her face, and that makes them complain, that complaint can lead to arguing with Allah. Ya Allah, why do I have this on my face? That argument can lead, and definitely leads, to spiritual degradation. And what that does, it might lead to the loss of iman by questioning the power of Allah and the supreme authority of Allah. We shouldn't do that. Let's be happy. Continue. Okay, there is a sickness. Now, how do I deal with it? Let me continue. I've had this medication, that medication, it's not working. Alhamdulillah, let me go and try this medication. It's still not working. Subhanallah, I will engage in what is known as sabr. Had it not been for this problem, I probably would never have been accepted to engage in a great act of worship known as patience. Patience can only come for those who understand what has come in their direction. So this is the season. This is the month of Ramadan. What we need to achieve from this month is to cleanse ourselves both internally and externally. And as I said, the questions we need to ask ourselves regarding the resolutions we have made in the past, and if we haven't, it is not too late. How many resolutions do I want to make today? What are my bad habits? A, B, and C, for example. The three major habits. This year, inshallah, during Ramadan, I will abstain. And I will follow up that abstention up to the next Ramadan so that I can then make further resolutions to become even better. Say, for example, a person is not regular with salah. And for your information, every single one of us should know that there is room for improvement. Nobody is perfect. Even if you are reading 5 salah a day, or if you've added tahajjud and you are now reading 6 salah a day, there is still room for improvement. Room for cleansing the heart. There is always room for cleansing the heart. So I'm addressing myself before everyone else here. That inshallah, by the time this Ramadan ends, I must be able to, if I die, face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at least, and be able to show Him that I tried. And I'm sure that that trial will please my Creator. The fact that I tried. I tried to do what? I tried to eradicate the bad habits and to increase the good. I tried to engage in my duties and to fulfill them in the most correct manner. And I tried my best also to stay very far from the prohibitions as far as possible. I'm sure that trial, my Creator will look at me with the eyes of mercy. And I hope and I pray that through His mercy, He can grant me Jannah. Because ultimately, that is what we all want. So those are my resolutions, inshallah. And I hope and I pray everyone who is listening can sit today and make resolutions. Think of the bad habits. Think of what evil we are engaged in. Think of how many people's lives I have made a misery. Think of how many people I have spoken bad about. How many I've accused. How many I've cheated. How many I owe money. I need to have a plan. How to give back that money. Or how to compensate the evil that I have done against whoever I have done it against. And I need to think of a way of becoming a better person so that people can look at me and feel that I am an asset to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single one of us. Shaitan makes us singular people. Shaitan makes us very singular. And the hadith says, and the Quran says, that you are one ummah. The hadith says, you should be like one body. Even if a small part of it is hurt, the whole body is restless. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضُوٌ تَدَاعَى لَهُ سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهْرِ وَالْحُمَّى. If a small organ of the body is complaining, the entire body is restless, cannot sleep. Why don't we have that unity in the ummah? Because I am living my singular life and so are the rest of the ummah. I am worried about me, my money, my earning, my wealth, my vehicle, my house, my wife and children, and that's it. And at times, not even wife and children. I'm not worried about sometimes. May Allah save us. So if I am only worried about myself, what about the poor person? And this is why Ramadan is the ideal opportunity, because the cleansing during the month of Ramadan is not only a physical cleansing when it comes to detoxifying the body, or it is not only a spiritual cleansing, but even a social cleansing. When we look at the poor, we are taught to give. A lot of people use and seize the opportunity of Ramadan to calculate their zakat and to give it out. Why? Because in Ramadan, that act of farad is multiplied a minimum of 70 times. So it is better to have your cut-off date somewhere during the month of Ramadan. Best. Because when you give in the month of Ramadan, to put a smile on someone's face is a sunnah. Not only to smile, but to put a smile on someone's face is a sunnah. You will be achieving the reward of a farad in the month of Ramadan. To smile is a sunnah, but to smile in the month of Ramadan, the reward is that of a farad. Straight. How many of us have felt this season? How many of us have drawn up a list of a few sunnahs which we would like to undertake or become more conscious of during the month of Ramadan? Not only connected to me and my musalla, but connected to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To give a person one date, a good date in that person's hand is a sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given dates with his own hand, one date to a person. He's given it. It is a sunnah. To engage in that sunnah in a beautiful manner, not just to throw the dates. You know, at times we have weddings, and in these weddings, or the nikah in the masjid, some people say it is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to throw dates, dry dates. And I beg to differ, because throwing the food that Allah has bestowed cannot be sunnah. To throw it, I don't know if you know what I'm speaking about, but I have actually seen it happening. And I had to comment to say, look, don't throw these dates. Give them out. Keep them in a little box or a little container and give them. Yes, but don't throw the dates. It can't be sunnah to throw food, which is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we must realize and understand that during this month and this season, there is a lot that we can achieve. But, and I end with this particular point, the question that everyone needs to ask, is this Ramadan going to be just another Ramadan, like the other Ramadan that went by before, without me having achieved the greatness that my own Creator wants me to achieve? In terms of spirituality, the social aspect of the fast, social development, spiritual development, in fact, economic development. You know what the Quran says regarding zakah? خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Take from their wealth zakah, which will cleanse them and purify their spirituality as well. Tazkiyah is connected to the purification of the heart. So if we have given zakah, and that zakah has not resulted in the purification of our own heart, then there is something wrong with the manner in which we are giving our zakah. We cannot give zakah thinking that I'm doing these poor people a favor. They are doing us a favor by accepting this zakat. It is not easy. There will come a time, one of the signs of Qiyamah, nobody will be interested or nobody will be qualified to accept zakat. No one. That is a very big sign of Qiyamah. It's not a major sign, but it is one of the signs according to one of the narrations. And Allah knows best. But if we think of it, are we not fortunate to have poor people that we can actually give out a sadaqah? Something bad happens and we say, give out a sadaqah. Give out a charity. Imagine no one is there to take your charity. Now what do you do? Think of it, no boxes, no organizations, no companies. Islamic companies, and I'm using the word companies because some of them are bogus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. We always need to verify before we give our wealth. That is our duty. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us by keeping those who are poor and underprivileged. It's a gift for us. They are doing us a favor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify us and cleanse us in this month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us obedient children of parents whom we can be the coolness of their eyes even if they've passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who are really an asset to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, starting with our own immediate family members. May Allah make us really and truly from amongst those who are concerned correctly for the rest of the ummah. And may Allah cleanse our hearts and remove hatred against anyone from amongst the members of this ummah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the love of every single person who utters the shahada. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us the love of anyone who has uttered that kalima, because indeed, ultimately, the entry into Jannah depends on that particular shahada. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.